Welcome back to the Blues on Parade podcast, where all we do is talk Chelsea and talk shit about everyone else. And for the first time in a long time, boy, are we going to be talking shit about everyone else. Because, Sam, we had a weekend and a midweek full of hate watching, and boy, oh boy, was it a good time.
It was actually the perfect, literally the perfect football week. Obviously, you know, we'll talk about the Chelsea 6-0 win, but, you know, to cap it all off, Liverpool and Arsenal both losing, United dropping points, and then Arsenal and City today getting knocked out of the Champions League, Chelsea remaining as the only team in London with a Champions League trophy. So, just for another year at least. So I'm really happy about that. It was, the weekend was so awesome. And I originally was saying it was the perfect weekend, football weekend, because Chelsea weren't going to play until Monday. Like, so that they couldn't ruin my weekend. And boy, oh boy, did they really make my week, maybe made my season after that performance, because that was just a long time coming.
No Sunday scaries to fight off on Monday.
No.
Yeah, no, it was so much fun going into the weekend. Like, I was thinking, I'll just neutral, watch everything. Probably we'll see the usual suspects do their thing. And you forgot to mention also West Ham, I believe, also dropped points. No? I think that Fulham might have beaten West Ham, which is good for Chelsea because West Ham is above us.
Yes.
So the Premier League was great. And then, like you said, midweek, Arsenal's out, City's out. And the cherry on top of all that is that with this new Champions League coefficient thing where good leagues get an extra point, extra spot, with these guys losing, Tottenham is no longer qualifying for the Champions League in fifth place. And man, this is good times. Good times.
Yeah, like, it sucks that, like, we're in the position where, like, the coefficient, whatever it's called, the thing that gives the fifth spot in Champions League, like, we're not, like, fifth place is out of the question for us right now, which is a very sad place to be in. But when you brought up the fact that, you know, it might knock Spurs out of Champions League into Europa with us, then it makes it feel a lot better.
Hey, we're still going to the Club World Cup next summer. So, we still have a bit of prestige to us. And like, I know there's probably a group of Chelsea fans out there that are like, oh, we're so pathetic that we're hate watching.
We are pathetic.
Maybe for our standards. But this is what every other club has done to Chelsea for the better part of 10, 12, maybe 15 years now. And I'm okay with just getting to do a little bit of payback, a little taste of their own medicine. I had personal vendettas as well that were very nice. Havertz, Jorginho, and Kovacic all getting bounced out when they...
You have a vendetta against Kovacic now?
Just, I didn't like how he treated his last year here. Like, I definitely think he, like, down-tooled or whatever British people call it. Yeah, I just think he went full mercenary on us when things went bad. And, all three of those guys who went on to quote-unquote greener pastures all got bounced. So, I don't know, just kind of nice.
Yeah, I mean, is it sad to say that watching Arsenal lose maybe the Premier League and the Champions, getting knocked out of the Champions League in, like, the span of 3 days? Is it sad to say that that's probably the highlight of our season?
I mean, I don't know. Cole Palmer might have a couple of things to say to that. Yes, but
you're right. Monday might have been that was actually the highlight of the season, and there's still more to come.
Yeah, but in terms of Arsenal, it makes it so much sweeter that it took them till mid-April to bottle it, because last year it was December. It was half a season of intolerable Arsenal fans. Now this time around, they made it to April, and right before they lost, they had come out with their chants were going viral, and they stole two Chelsea chants and just made their own kind of thing. They tried the body is Sheil one. They turned into their owner going to Spain in a Ford Fiesta to sign Mikel Arteta. I'm like,
he probably stole that chant from someone else too. That's
Our owner drove to Paris to France in a Maserati. Their owner was driving a Ford Fiesta. So it's just like, even when you try your best to take our shit, you'd make it worse. And then and then they also like had one that was like "fuck Thomas Tuchel." That's based on a Chelsea one as well. It's just like, do your own thing, man. Like, don't try to bring us down. I don't know. I hate Arsenal. It's nice to see them suck.
So, look, before we get into the Everton match, Champions League predictions. Let's hear it. So, on one side we got Real Madrid and Bayern. On the other side, we got Dortmund and who's it? PSG.
Yeah.
All right.
I hate PSG, but I think that Mbappe alone should be able to handle Dortmund. So I think PSG makes it to the final again, since first time since 2020. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, I think Mbappe's future club is going to make it into the final. I think Madrid, there's just something about Madrid, even if they don't have a true number nine, whatever it is. And just Ancelotti is, there's got to be a conversation now as Ancelotti being the greatest manager of all time. Because he just wins. And he doesn't need crazy X's and Y's and new systems. He just wins. Forget the one weird year where he decided that he could maybe save Everton, and he's literally won everywhere in every league, and now he's won Champions Leagues with two different teams and in three different stints, because he left Madrid, came back, and won it again.
Yeah.
So it's just, yeah, I think that Madrid midfield, no matter who is in it, can beat any other midfield in the world. And I think that alone is going to win them the Champions League, honestly.
Oh, and they're going to beat PSG. Wait, you do just...
Yeah. I said they'll beat Bayern, and I think they'll win it all. So I think it'll be Madrid-PSG final, and I think they'll win. And I'll take my predictions a step further. It could earn Jude Bellingham the Ballon d'Or ahead of like someone like Erling Haaland.
Jude, good shout. Palmer has a chance of winning it this year?
I think he could have a chance of like the Golden Boy or whatever the other one's called. But yeah, I was trying to think of who this year earns the Ballon d'Or, right? Like, who is in the running? And I didn't have like a runaway name. Yeah. Obviously, the Euros are this summer and the Copa America is this summer, so things can change. But like, as of today, is it Haaland? Is it Bellingham? Like, who else is on that list? Like, Mbappe, I don't know if he gets anywhere unless France also wins the Euros kind of thing. So it's
what if PSG wins the Champions League?
I mean, yeah, that's a whole nother conversation. If he gets in the Champions League, I think it's a done deal.
Man, that would be an insane story. If it's Mbappe and PSG against Real Madrid.
And Mbappe beats his future club.
Yeah, and then joins them the next year. That would be the reverse Kevin Durant right there. That's like,
yeah,
you know, instead of losing and joining the winners, you beat them, and then you're like, hey, let me help you guys out. Also,
what are your predictions, Sam?
I mean, yeah, Madrid's just got the aura. I don't know how they do it. Like, if you saw the game today, City completely outplayed Madrid. Terrorized them. They should have won for sure. And then it went the full, you know, 120 minutes, went into penalties. At that point, it's anyone's game. Bernardo Silva fucked up, unfortunately. Hey, but the funny thing about that.
Are you talking about the TikTok that went around?
What TikTok?
that Kepa was talking to Lunin before the PKs, and that Bernardo Silva took that exact same penalty against Kepa in one of the finals we had against City, and it scored on Kepa. So they're theorizing that Kepa warned Lunin, because Lunin didn't even move. He was just like, I'm going to stay right here. It's coming down the middle and catch it.
Well, that's not what I was talking about, but that's also another very interesting thing. But City could have definitely used someone who has never missed a penalty, Mr. Cole Palmer. Maybe if they kept on, if they hanged up, you know, whatever, kept him
hung on to him.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know why. I couldn't remember how to say that, but they would have advanced, but hey, he's our fucking star boy now.
Yeah.
They're okay. I think they're okay with Phil Foden, though.
And Doku was also really good on the day.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's get back to the point of this podcast, and let's talk a little bit about Chelsea, who completely dismantled Everton 6-0 for what has to be just the nicest scoreline we've had all season. And not just all season, in a while. I don't remember the last time we just smashed a Premier League team like this.
Under the under the Blue Co ownership, this is probably our biggest win.
It has to be.
I don't know that. Yeah, I don't know that for sure. I mean,
I think we can like put our stake on this is the biggest Premier League win we've had.
Yeah, Premier League win. That's right. Exactly. Not counting like early Carabao Cup against fourth division teams.
Right. And by the way, did you expect something like this against Everton?
Hell no. We did our preview. We both thought we were gonna draw. We had no this team is so inconsistent. There's like, this was so unexpected, man.
And I didn't mention it in our last pod, but I remember reading that they had gotten another points deduction right before this match. So I was like, oh, of course. Then these guys are going to come out angry and just batter us. But
I said this on the last episode.
I didn't know. Dude, honestly, the lack of sleep is something that may be hitting right now. Like, am I lucid dreaming? Who knows? But I do think that Everton came out extremely naive. Like, the formula against Chelsea for the better part of the last 4 years is just to sit back and frustrate us. And Everton did the complete opposite, which plays to the one strength of this team. It's like, if you want to play chaotic end-to-end football, we are going to be the ones that beat you in that game. Like, we live in the chaos. It's like the Bane quote from fucking Batman. Like, you were raised by it. I was born in it, whatever. Like, I don't want to do the voice.
Merely adopted it.
The darkness. That. Yeah, I was born in it. So whatever. Like, this is Poch ball, and they played right into our hand. But let's get right into it. The starting 11: Petrovic in goal, a back four of Gusto, Chalaba, Silva, and Cucurella. A double pivot of Caicedo and Gallagher because Enzo was injured. From right to left behind Jackson, we had Madueke, Palmer at the 10, Mudrik at left wing. And as I mentioned, Nico starting up front. And this is actually the very first time that we see Madueke, Palmer, Mudrik, and Nico start a game together in the Premier League, which I found interesting. I think a lot of fans probably wanted to see this a long time ago. Personally, I didn't think Palmer was going to do what he did from the 10 position. Up until this match, I thought the 10 position kind of has limited him compared to when he plays off the right side. But
yeah,
since we're on the topic, what do you think about it?
Sorry, as the motorcycles drive by, I don't know if you can hear that in the background, but we saw something that we saw early on in the season, and I think we went away from a little bit, and it was the fluidity of those three, where he wasn't just playing down the middle. Like, you saw him switch with Noni, you saw him switch with Mudrik. So he did, like, kind of occupy all three, I was going to say quadrants in the field, but what's quadrants for
thirds? Thirds,
thank you. all three thirds. That's all I had to say.
No, that's a good point. I think he's also probably on like the highest high, and compared to maybe last fall when he played at the 10, I get it, against like United, both Poch and his teammates understand what Cole Palmer needs to be doing for the betterment of this team. And yeah, I mean, I think he looked stellar there. Again, I think Everton was very naive on their approach, which only benefited our three very like tricky attackers behind Nico. Especially Cole Palmer, obviously, with him dictating everything. I mean, I'll go right through it. He had 4 goals, not only just a perfect hat trick, but a perfect poker, right foot, left foot header, penalty. The last player to do that for Chelsea was Olivier Giroud in the Champions League under a certain Frank Lampard as manager. It was against
Porto or
against Sevilla, I believe. Yeah. And I mean, he had 3 or 4 successful dribbles, 1 extremely filthy nutmeg on the lead up to, I believe, his first goal. He was only dispossessed one time. And not only did he score all the goals, but he completed 4 passes into the final third. I mean, this guy's doing it. He's doing it all. With those goals, he does tie Erling Haaland at the top of the Premier League Golden Boot race. And crazy. A new listener, Frank, at Angle05, Sam, wants to ask you, can Palmer get the Premier League Golden Boot?
Well, of course he can. I mean, we have a game in hand, and he's even with
Erling Haaland right now. Will he win the Golden Boot?
I don't know. I mean, he's had, 2 hat tricks in the last 4 matches, something like that, or 5 matches. So, you know, obviously that inflated it. Like, he obviously can. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, I if you told me at the beginning of the season, yes, I would be shocked. But from this point on, I wouldn't be shocked if he did. But I think, you know, Ollie Watkins and Haaland, which are the two, I think the other two, right? Is there anyone else besides Ollie Watkins who can win it?
I mean, let me see real quick for you. Player stats. Ollie Watkins is at 19. Dominic Solanke is at 17. And so is Alexander Isak and Mo Salah. So that's probably those 6 names are probably it. I don't think someone like Jared Bowen,
How many does Jared Bowen have on the season?
15.
Holy shit. What? Jared Bowen has 15 goals this season? Holy shit. I know he's playing well, but 15 is crazy.
I don't think any of those guys catch up at this point. Like,
I think it's I think those 3 that I named, I think those are the 3 most likely. Obviously, I mean, they're the top 3, but I mean, Ollie Watkins,
he doesn't take penalties for Aston Villa, by the way. So all his goals are 0 penalty taken. So I believe Haaland and Palmer are the designated takers for their respective teams. I don't know, with KDB being back, if that changes things for Man City. But now that Golden Boot race...
scored a penalty. He shot their penalty last game.
Okay, KDB
was in.
So, yeah. So those 3 are in the race. I think Ollie Watkins not having the penalties definitely hurts his stock. I just don't know. With City losing the Champions League, I think, unfortunately, that's the end of the Cole Palmer dream of a Golden Boot.
Yeah, I mean, I think those 2 are probably going to... I think he'll finish 3rd.
Yeah, which is fair. I mean, for a debut season, I mean, he's at... I think he's also 1 or 2 assists off from being the top assist person. I think Pascal Gross is at 10... with Trippier and Watkins. These are the people's take. Like, again, Trippier and Gross take all the set pieces, but the fact that Ollie Watkins has 10 also, and he's a striker, like, dude, Ollie Watkins, not only is, like, everyone's talking about Cole Palmer making a case for the Euros. We'll give a shout to Ollie Watkins right now, because he also has had quite the season. But Palmer, my point was that Palmer is 1 assist away from being the top assister in the Premier League as well. And if we had competent finishing outside of him, he might have run away with this as well.
That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, just quickly again about Ollie Watkins. How come I don't ever hear any transfer rumors about this guy? Like, he's literally like the second best striker in the Premier League right now, maybe.
I think it's one of those things where people are afraid of like a one season wonder, and I think he's probably past that. He's
so good.
Yeah, I think the English tax is going to make him quite expensive.
I mean, what's his price tag right now? 100 mil?
Has to be.
More?
Has to be.
Maybe more, huh? I don't know.
The highest non-foreign striker in the Premier League? Yeah, he's going to be in the triple digits. But, hey, okay, I'm going to ask you... Yeah, back to Cole Palmer. Yeah, Vano here, one of our recent ultras out waiting for Kendry. He wants to ask Palmer... He says, Palmer is such a talent. How high is his ceiling? And so I'm going to add to this question. What former Chelsea player does Palmer remind you of?
I'll wait for your answer on that because okay. I can't think of a great comparison. I mean, like, he's pretty unique in his play style. Like, I mean, I want to say Juan Mata. Like,
that was mine. Like, that was going to be mine too. I was going to go straight to Juan Mata.
Yeah, I mean, but not like, but I don't think their play styles are the same. I think, like, as far as like having the type of debut seasons, like, I think Juan Mata had like 30 goal contributions on the season, right? Like 10 goals, 20 assists, something like that.
His second season. So this was the Europa League champion season where it was him, Hazard, and Oscar. He had like 30 plus.
I think his debut also, he was like, I think his debut season, he had 10. Either way, if you want to think, you know, if you want to make the comparison to Juan Mata and say, what's his peak? Like, you know, did
Juan higher Mata... than Juan Mata? I
hope so. I mean, he's 20 years old. Like,
yeah.
Like, well, I'm going to pray every single night that, you know, he's not going to be the kind of one season wonder you're talking about with Ollie Watkins. I don't think he is. But. Shit, man, I don't know how to answer that question. Sky's the limit for the kid.
Yeah, the way I see it is he, like, after last season, I think everyone was on board, like, we build this team around Enzo Fernandez's needs. And Enzo is going to be the building block and everything works around Enzo. I think Palmer is now that person. Like, being that he's 20, being that he's on a long contract, being that he's on a golden boot race and also right there for the top assists, I think it makes way more sense to make sure that every decision tactically, squad building, and all of those things have to be around your biggest asset now. Like, that's where I'm at with him. And funny enough, Vano's handle's waiting for Kendry. Kendry... is going to have to wait a little bit to make his mark, it sounds like, because they play in very similar spaces in the field. They're both left-footed. It's a 10/right wing. So, yeah, Kendry might have thought that he can be Ecuador's main man and go to strip clubs at age 15, but this is Cole Palmer's team now. So that's where I'm at with him. I think that it is not... I'm not saying, like, Jude Bellingham, we talked about Ara. Jude Bellingham is, like, the guy right now in terms of these U23 players. I don't think that Palmer is quite there yet, but this was his, like, home, like, his, not homecoming, but, like, his debutante ball. Like, he is now here. I am him. Like, Pep was holding me back campaign. And I think that he will be in the way that, for years now, we've talked about KDB, Salah, Kane, like the handful of players that are the top players in the Premier League. We're going to be talking about Haaland, Foden, Saka, Palmer. That's the ceiling that I'm at today.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's fair. Like, again, we don't need to gas him up any more than we've done this whole entire season.
That's the thing. I don't know if you watched the post-match. Like, he is such a little cocky guy, like in the best way. So he's getting asked about the hat trick, and it was like, Cole, how does it feel to finish a hat trick in 30 minutes? And he immediately goes, It was 29 minutes, isn't it?
Oh my like, god.
He's just, he knows. Like, he knows that he's on the form of, like, his life right now. And I appreciate that. Those little comments remind me of Hazard. When Hazard would have those fun interviews, it's like, there's personality to this guy. And at the same time, there's, like, a competitive bite to him. Like, he is that dude that, like, he wants that pressure. And we haven't had a guy like that in so long. So, yeah, we'll move on. Like you said, we don't have to always just talk about Cole Palmer, but Michael Cohen at like
Wait, you're
Michael,
not going to read, you're not going to oh, do Kirill's question?
My bad, Kirill's, my bad. He wants to know, how many years does Palmer stay at Chelsea? Our friend Kirill's Medvedev.
Fuck you, Kirill. What the hell kind of question is this? I mean, if you, excuse me, if you go to the tweet, there was a back and forth. I forget who he was going back and forth.
It was me.
It was with you?
Yeah.
No, someone else, I don't know. But basically he's saying, like, we don't turn it around, and the owners, once they get a $100 million offer, they'll take it.
Oh, that's right. Like, I did see this.
So, you know, that I can't say he's wrong. Like,
I don't know if $100 million, like, it would have to be, I think, like, Bayer Leverkusen came out formally and said, like, if you want Verts, you have to pay 200 plus. Cool. That's what you have to do with Palmer. And we have a long enough contract, and I believe the rumors are that we're trying to get him a pay raise on the contract. Like, we tied everyone down to 7-8 year contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Easily, you can ask for $200 million, especially if it's a Premier League rival asking for Cole Palmer. I think.
Okay, why are we? Let's not.
Yeah,
talk
I think
about how
I don't
much
think
because I don't want to think about that.
No, and I don't think we have to worry about him leaving anytime soon. I think he is enjoying being the guy and being given the freedom that comes with that. Because he's getting to express himself. He's getting to do a lot of things that playing under Pep you wouldn't get to do, because Pep has his way, right? Like, Pep doesn't have that individual guy that has no rules. Like, that was Messi and that was it. Like, he doesn't let anybody else do that. And if somebody tries to tell Pep what to do, he freaking sells them within a window. Just ask Joao Cancelo. So, to me, I think Palmer's here for a while. I think he wants to have his own sort of brand, sort of like he seems like that guy that bets on himself, obviously, by telling City that he wants out. And I think that we're the perfect place for it now, because he'll have the biggest voice compared to going with a club above us in the table that have more of a typical hierarchy where, like, the manager and the sporting directors are going to, like, tell you what you need to be doing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, but I think you're missing a huge part, and it's, if we don't improve, like, you know, all that's great, but
I think,
like, he wants to be contending as well. That's every player wants.
Yeah. Well, and we have a question about, like, where we could be hypothetically, and we'll discuss that about improvements in a little bit. But sorry, Kirill's, that I almost missed your question. We'll go on to Michael's now, because the scoring
but just to wrap that, you know, tie that a bow on that, like, I think there is a possibility also that if we don't improve and we're still, like, mid
worst case scenario, like, 3 years.
Yeah, like, you would say, like, I want to leave, but
yeah, worst
I don't
scenario.
Think that's going to happen. I kind of see the vision.
Yeah, there has to be a bit of light at the end of the tunnel, I think, especially when you have Cole Palmer on your team, right?
Yeah.
Well, Michael wants to bring up the fact that, you know, 6-0 was quite a deceiving scoreline, perhaps. I mean, we gave up 10 shots against Everton. They stayed offside when they didn't need to be offside. And yeah. Michael says, not trying to rain on the parade, but some worrying defensive moments that a better team would have been punished for. Should we temper expectations a little bit after 6-0? And I want to go first here. Michael, nothing's changed. I still don't trust this team with my life. I still don't trust this team to get those 6 points from the games in hand that puts us in the fight for sixth place. So My expectations remain the exact same. There are no expectations. I don't think that a 6-0 victory against Everton suddenly makes sure that we have a Europa League spot. I don't think a 6-0 victory against Everton saves Poch from all the criticism I've been giving him for weeks. Nothing has changed. A blind squirrel finds a nut. Some shit like that. I don't know what the saying is, but that's what I'm getting at. Even a blind squirrel finds a nut. Maybe that's what it is.
I honestly, now that you're saying it, I don't know what it is.
Even a broken clock gives you the right time twice a day, right?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I think that's a better one.
I like the squirrel one.
Yeah, I mean, just to add on to what you were saying, like, but, you know, like, it, all that stuff is true, but it also makes you feel good, right? Like, you're happy.
Yeah.
Michael's just incapable of, like, enjoying it and being happy, unfortunately. Like,
who hurt you, Michael? Who hurt you?
He can't. Like, he definitely, and it's, I don't blame him either. Like, you say who hurt you? Like, Chelsea Football Club hurt him. Like, I think he's justified in feeling this way. But at the same time, like, you said not trying to rain on the parade. You did. That's exactly what you did, Michael. He rained on our parade to make us remember how shit we actually are when we wanted to just forget about that for a second.
Okay, but I do have a crazy stat that came up after the match.
No.
Since Christmas, the only teams with more points than Chelsea in the league are Man City, Arsenal, and Liverpool.
Okay.
How the fuck are we still in ninth place?
We're like, dude, we're literally, if we beat Arsenal, which is like, we actually need to talk about like our upcoming stretch of game because it's crazy, but
yeah,
we somehow beat Arsenal, we're tied in what, six, or we're even on points with fifth or six.
I think Tottenham is almost caught up to them, so that's a whole
Newcastle,
other, there's a bit of a gap.
Yeah, Newcastle just has a better goal differential than us, so we'll be even on points with them, but that's a big if we beat Arsenal. So go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, if we just drop points to teams we shouldn't be dropping points, and then we come back and surprise teams that we're not supposed to get points against, right? Like, we went unbeaten against City. We haven't lost to, I mean, we lost to Liverpool the second time, but we tied Liverpool at Anfield, tied
Arsenal first leg,
beat Tottenham, but they had two red cards. So it's like those teams that you were supposed to struggle with, we somehow rise to the occasion, or again, it's that chaos I talked about, right? Those teams are coming at us, and then that somehow plays into the madness that is our very odd setup. But I want to get to the point that literally everyone could only focus on after this, which sucks, because even the media,
we didn't pay. How long have we been recording? We'd even bring that up once. Good for us.
Yeah, because the media was very quick to do that in the post-match press conference, which led to Pochettino walking away. And for once, I'm glad he did. That is exactly what he should have done. But before he got to that, Pochettino finally said it. He came out and said it. Palmer is the penalty taker. It won't happen again. Can't behave like kids again. It's a shame. I told the players this is the last time I'll accept this type of behavior. This is not a joke. So I definitely was kind of half paying attention when this all happened, because at first I was like, oh no, like there wasn't anything to worry about. But Palmer is down way out of the way of the camera. Nani pops up and immediately gets the ball. He knows what's up. He knows that if he doesn't get to the ball first, it's going to Cole Palmer and it's game over. He walks to the spot, and as he's trying to get all set up, here comes Palmer and says, all right.
No. And you missed the Nico Jackson part.
Oh, not yet, right? Or was Nico first?
Yeah, Nico and him were first. They were arguing, and that, because this was all happening while Cole Palmer was still on the ground.
Like holding his ankle, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Then Gallagher steps in and snatches the ball from Nico, gives it to Palmer. Then Nico comes in and blitzes into this huddle, and Palmer pushes him away. And now Connor Gallagher has to take both Madueke and Jackson away from Palmer, who eventually buries the penalty kick.
Yeah. bad look. Bad look. Good obviously. Lord. I mean, look, like, I don't think anyone was happy with it. It was of like the one damper on an otherwise amazing performance. And, you know, they say whatever, that it's cool in the locker room, they're laughing about it, but I don't know, man. Like, that's,
I think
it's hard.
Yeah, I know Peter Lawrence of Capital Department wanted us to speak about this, so we're just kind of going into it. Leonard Cohen wanted to know who takes pens. I think we all know who takes pens now, and it's who we want to take pens, and that's Cole Palmer. To be a bit of like devil's advocate here, right? Palmer is already on a hat trick. I know that this goal gets him tied with Erling Haaland, and maybe he was aware of it at the time. It's not like we've never seen a team with a designated penalty taker let somebody else take a penalty for a confidence thing or anything like that. Here's the thing. Let the penalty taker give you the ball, if that's the case. If Palmer would have had the ball from the beginning and then he's like, actually, Noni, like, you've been playing really well. You haven't gotten your goal. Here's the ball. Go for it. Or Nico, I know you got your goal earlier. Let's get you a brace. Here's the ball. But if the penalty taker wants it, that's who takes it, period. I don't give a rat's ass if one more goal gets you a bonus for getting to double digits in the season. I don't care if, oh, it's your child's birthday.
Why do you not care about that? That should matter.
I don't care for the players. I care for the result. Because last time somebody took a penalty from Cole Palmer was Sterling, and he missed. And then we went... We almost lost to fucking Leicester until the very last minute. Like,
that was the worst moment.
Was it Leicester or Leeds? I can't remember. It was one of those teams that we played in the FA Cup. So it's just one of those things where, like, there needs to be an order of operations here. Like, Hazard took the penalties when Hazard was here. After him, it was Jorginho. Before them, it was Lampard. Like, I don't believe that you just let the team decide. Like, I don't think that that's a true thing. Just like you assign a captain, you assign the penalty kick taker, the one, and corner kick takers, and you do a depth chart. The one time that I'm like, oh, it depends on the field, distance, blah, blah, it's free kicks. Because some people are better from range, some people are good about placing. Those, I'm not bugged if Sterling takes one, and then Reece James takes one, and then Enzo takes one. Those don't bug me. But this could have been prevented by Poch initially. And then moving forward, the players by now should know that Palmer has yet to miss. So why the hell would you take it away from Palmer if he's on the pitch?
Yeah, you know, Noni's done this, what, twice, three times before already?
Yeah.
And the last time that he did it, I said, you know, and I'm going to sound like a total hypocrite. I said, when he did that, I think it was like a 2-1. I think it was 2-1 or something. We're up by one. Mm-hmm. So if we made it, we'd be up by two. If not, like, you know, it was a very crucial penalty. And I was thinking, like, you know, he was glory hunting. Like, he wanted to take it and, like, get the goal. Like, you know, we don't, like, I shouldn't care about it right then. But it was, what, 3 or 4? Was it 3 or 4? It was 4-0. At this point. So I think I said specifically, like, if it's 4-0 or something, like, sure, go ahead. Like, that's fine. But, like, I just think that the way it went down between Nico and Noni in the beginning, like, if they didn't do that, I don't think Cole Palmer would have made it a point to, like, take it, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's what I'm getting at. Like, this could have been handled so differently, and it could have been taken by somebody else, and this would have been a non, like, nobody would have said a damn thing about that penalty.
Yeah, I think now's a good time to say Kendall's.
Yeah, his take is that Noni's not worth the headache. What a selfish act, and what should have been a feel good victory. I think the board should move on. What are your thoughts? Do you think this is like a fireable offense, essentially?
No, I don't think by itself it is. But I think at this point, like, it's kind of obvious that you can't play both of them together, really. Like, maybe, like, if we do play Cole Palmer in the middle, then we can play him on the right. But they're both right, you know, left-footed players. They want to play as on the right.
Yeah.
And I think Noni is very, talented. I think we could actually sell him for a profit. Like, how much would we buy him for? Like
35?
30? Huh?
30-35?
Yeah, I think 30-35. I think we could sell him for a profit. Because he's had flashes, and I think, you know, the fact that he's English, like, I think we could probably make a profit off of him. So, maybe, like, it's not the worst idea, but I don't think it's because of, like, this incident.
Yeah.
Like, but I do think that the incident kind of came up because Noni feels like it's like the same thing that Cole Palmer went through at Man City, you know, like, I mean, obviously he's not at the same level, but he was being held back because there's someone there who's much better than him at that position. So he was like, sell me, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. And I think it will probably be beneficial to both sides if we look for a move, but it's not because, like, I think he's a headache, you know? I think it's just a different, right? But it was very selfish.
Yeah, I think it was selfish. I think Noni for sure has that, like you said, glory hunting. Like, he wants to be acknowledged. Like, he's, like, thirsty for the love of the fans and, like, the output. Because if you remember in the spring under Lampard, we were all about Noni. Like, he was the one guy making things happen in a disaster of a remainder of the season when Lampard was an interim. So I think, like, Palmer is the new shiny toy, and it led to Noni not getting the minutes he probably thought he was going to get this season. So, yeah, he probably feels hard done by. He also, you know, had a really good game leading up to that point. Like, I really thought Noni performed well, and you talk about, like, it's sad because Poch has such a Gallagher fetish that we're not going to see this lineup very often. Like,
well, this season, well, sorry, just to cut you off, but this season we might see it the rest of the year because, I mean, Enzo's injury is potentially, you might need surgery.
Yeah, but apparently it's like an optional thing, right? Like, he's considering the surgery. He was at training today. That's
what I'm saying, but this, yeah. We've been talking about a hernia, sports hernia.
Yeah, so yeah, and he started getting it in December or something.
Yeah, and he's been having to take like pain injectors, whatever. Yeah. Like, so.
And I mean, if that's what gets Poch to maybe allow us to have an extra attacker in the field, that maybe for the rest of the season. That, I mean, this was the plan, and this is where I was going to get at. Like, you talk about, like, tactically, I can't get my words out. Is this something that can be long-term? And, I mean, this kind of was the vision, right? Before we got Palmer, it was supposed to be Nkunku down the middle behind Jackson, and the plan was always for, by this point of the season, Mudryk and Madueke to be the sort of heir apparents to the winger thrones. Like, we've already gotten rid of Sterling in a way. Like, Sterling's getting less and less minutes, it feels like.
I know, it's been nice.
It's been weird, but, like, yeah, Mudryk is like finding, he's like finding his shooting feet away from being a decent winger. Like, he's getting himself into better positions. Nico Jackson is finding him, and then his shooting is just like, what are you doing? So things are getting better, even though Mudryk is probably a couple of IQ points lower than he should be. Madueke on the other side, Poch is speaking about him well in training. He's getting the starts. It's like, why? I guess this kind of goes into John Nomix's question, because he asks, do we have a better midfield balance with Gallagher and Moises Caicedo? Under Poch and the way he wants to be all gas, no brakes, yes. I think this midfield pivot is more defensively secure, and in a way, it helps the attack at the same time because you don't have Gallagher at the 10 second-guessing every single pass he's going to make. Gallagher is no longer in a position where he has to have the brain power to unlock a defense, which I definitely don't think Gallagher has in his arsenal. Like, Gallagher is never going to be the finding the diagonal ball, splitting players, that's going to find a Madueke or Mudryk in space. He's not going to have the know-how to have a back heel 1-2 with Nico and then place the ball around to Jordan Pickford from outside the box. Gallagher is all about effort and actions, and he's going to get to the box to try to finish something, but he's not going to be the architect that gets the ball into the box for that sort of opportunity. So if Enzo gets the hernia surgery, whatever procedure he needs to get, and this double pivot continues, then tactically speaking, Noni and Palmer can play together at the same time, and both of them should still be able to perform the way they're performing recently. If it's a different manager, Kendall, I think that Noni gets benched for the next game based on embarrassing the club. Same with Nico. But Poch is such a, like, come here and give me a hug manager, that both the guys are probably starting, not just against City, but the game after that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was so mad in the moment. Like, if I was Poch, I would have yanked both of them.
I mean, he yanked Noni, not Nico, though. Like, and yeah, I was eventually hoping he would. I was hoping he would, because when we loaned out Broja, Poch said, and don't forget, we've got Washington. And I have yet to see fucking David Washington get significant minutes in a game, man. It's just...
Did he come in? He did, right?
Did he? I couldn't tell you, man. I know Gilchrist didn't. Shout out.
I don't know what he looks like, Loki. I thought... So who came in? Yeah, he did come in. He came in for Nico Jackson, the 88th minute. No, he came in with Alfie. So, but he didn't do much. I'm interested to see if
he has any stats. Yeah,
exactly. But what?
Finish your thought.
Godfrey. I'll look it up. Finish your thought.
Yeah, my point is just, I do think, so to Kendall, I think that a benching would have been appropriate. I think Poch has discussed it in the locker room. He's handled it behind scenes. I think because this team is such children and they have such fragile minds, this is probably the wiser way of doing it. I wouldn't have handled it that way. I would have said, you disrespected the team, you're out next game. But Poch might be right on this one, because everyone is such a little crybaby prima donna entitled kid that got 8-year contracts from Chelsea. So yeah, that's kind of, to answer both John Nomics and Kendall, that's kind of how I'll summarize that.
So David Washington, 10 minutes, one touch, 0 of 1 dribble, a successful dribble attempts, 1 dispossession.
Is this for the season?
No, that was just last game.
Oh, okay. The other player that I feel hard done by is freaking Cassidy. He gets pulled from his loan where he was playing a lot for a team that was competing for the championship, like top spot in the championship, to be our freaking win your headers in the last 5 minutes.
And every time he comes on, it feels like they get scored on.
Yeah, it sucks, man. At least Andre Santos is killing it at Strasbourg, and he won a Young Player of the Month for Ligue 1. I believe in 3 starts, Strasbourg is unbeaten now. So that's pretty dope that he's learning under Vieira, and he's actually doing really well. But I'm losing my train of thought here. Before we get to Kevin McGrath's question, shout out to Alfie Gilchrist for scoring a fucking laser. Very Reece James / Chilwell-esque finish on the back post with the volley. And his celebration was the best. It reminded me of Chalobah when he scored against Palace, where it's just so much emotion. And you can tell how much it means to him and how long he's been waiting for that. And to add on top of that, just this week, he became a full-time first-team player. Got, like, his name on the locker, finally. Like, just a feel-good story. Now I just ask other fans to not turn this into your next Cobham agenda and he is the greatest right back to ever come out. Like, let the kid do what he can. Let him go out on loan. If he keeps progressing the way he's progressing, I'm sure we'll see him again. I just don't want the toxicity that comes with a Cobham product to make me not like Alfie Gilchrist by proxy. Yeah.
You know what's funny though? Also, so David Washington, we also have, what's his name, Tyreek George.
Yeah. Imagine he's killing it in the academy.
Imagine if we subbed both them on at the same time. George Washington. That's what you're thinking.
Yeah, I mean, Tyreek George, apparently, if you look up his highlights, the dude has got finishing is easy for him. It's like him, the Jamaican kid Whisper, he's been killing it in the academy. Yeah. And even David Washington has scored some really good goals recently for the academy. It just sucks that, you know, we're just never going to get them starting a game. And
they're 18 years old, 17 years old.
I know. I'm just saying, like, last weekend, De Sassi had to play right back again because Gusto was out. Or not last weekend, but recently. It's like,
yeah,
you really can't play a Gilchrist for the 90 or a different kid from the academy. But anywho, we're going to move on to Kevin McGrath's question because it kind of relates to the injuries. He says, we have lost 1 in 11 games, scoring 33 goals in the process. The team is being rebuilt before your eyes. Would you agree that without a season full of key injuries, Nkunku, Reece James, Chilwell, Lavia, Fofana, we would be close to a Champions League spot now? Yes.
Tough to say.
No, yes, Kevin. Like, we talked, I don't know when you started listening to us, Kevin. You are a constant contributor to the podcast. At the beginning of the season, pre-injuries, I said fifth place. I said pushing for fourth, but probably being just short and getting fifth. And I thought if the coefficient went our way, it would get us Champions League. Even with Poch's crazy-ass tactics, if we had a full freaking healthy squad, I do think we could have done more. Fofana is a significant upgrade at center back, which has been an issue. Malo Gusto has been a great... has been great for Reece James, but Chilwell, I mean, had he not gotten injured and we got the Chilwell that we got at the beginning of the summer, that would have been something else. Mm-hmm. And then Lavia, like, I don't know if this is a Poch thing or a director's thing, but the midfield was supposed to be Lavia, Caicedo, and Enzo. Like, that was what the dream was. So maybe that would have allowed Enzo to look better and not have to do so much defensive work and allowed Caicedo to look as good as he did against Everton. So, yeah, if we had no injuries, if Chukwuemeka would have never gotten injured against West Ham, that someone that's not listed there, yeah. I think we could have easily... not easily, I'll take that back. But I think we could have definitely been fighting for top four, top five, and I think we would have, should have... could have beaten Liverpool in the Carabao Cup final.
Oh, we for sure should have. Dude, can you imagine if this season we had finished with the FA Cup and Carabao Cup, but we probably will end up with neither.
Hey, that's a good segue. Because we have Man City this weekend, FA Cup semifinal. Man City just played Madrid today. 120-minute match. Ended in pens. Sorry, I don't know if you heard that, but my dog just farted. I promise it wasn't me.
Damn, I wish I heard that. I did not.
They played 120 minutes. They are now top of the Premier League with both Arsenal and Liverpool on their tail. They won the treble last year, right? Yeah. Do you think they care about the FA Cup like enough to not rest some of their best players this weekend?
Oh, okay. So yeah, now that you rephrase it,
Starting there.
Yeah, I think like they for sure will prioritize the league, 100%. I mean we've seen it time and time again in these competitions that, and I know it's semifinals, but we're gonna see a lot of their youth players and bench players, which are, you know, still is gonna be a, you know, very talented team.
Formidable team.
Oscar Bob out there and
Rico Lewis. Rico Lewis,
yeah, and like I don't know, some other people.
Doku probably starts from the get-go, and you'll still probably see Foden or Bernardo Silva, like
one of them.
I think moving on to the game itself. I talked about the chaos that Chelsea brings. I honestly don't expect them to come and stomp us because this team, because of the young, immature nature of this team, this is their fucking Champions League final. It is now, we drew Man City twice in the league. Both times, one time we came back to draw, the second time we probably should have won with some hard defense throughout the game. I think you'll see a very high energy Chelsea. It's going to be hard for us because we're not good at scoring. Like the 6-0 doesn't change my mind about our finishing. But you have a leggy Man City. We're fresh. We're motivated, potentially. And as much as we have those games in hand, this is our most surefire way of still getting Europe. Like,
mm-hmm.
This
for sure, it's everything.
In my mind, this is the final for the FA Cup. Like, as awful as that sounds, like, I don't fear a Man United if they take care of business on their end of the semifinals. Like, this to me is the final for the FA Cup. Like, we get to the final, mm-hmm. and I expect a trophy. But we have to get there.
The thing about this Chelsea team, I'd probably be more nervous if we played against Coventry. Like, the way that we play. But no, dude, listen, I get what you're saying and I kind of feel the same way, but this team can't be 100% trusted yet.
Yeah.
You mentioned it.
Yeah.
So do I think that they will win it? Yes. How confident am I? Not very much so, but I think there's a very good chance that we win on Saturday and then win the whole thing, depending who we play on. Then it'll be great.
It is at Wembley. So for a second I was fearing that it would be at the Etihad, like we had to travel, but it's in Wembley.
Yeah.
We don't have the Mason Mount curse of Wembley anymore, but our other British midfielder, Gallagher, did not have the best time at Wembley last time around. With the Enzo injury, not injury, maybe we see what we saw this week and he'll play a little bit deeper. So maybe Palmer will be the one in those areas instead of Gallagher finishing the moves. So,
sure.
Man, it would just be like the cherry on top for Palmer to eliminate them from the FA Cup. Just a final, like, not a fuck you, because they let him go and he now appreciates being at Chelsea. But yes, a final fuck you to City this season. Do you have any sort of predictions? Doesn't have to be score. Like, is there a lineup prediction you're expecting? Or,
yeah, I mean, so Thiago Silva, do you think he gets to start again?
Yeah.
I think he has to.
And yeah.
Like, we kept a clean sheet with Thiago Silva starting, just so you guys know. First clean sheet that we've kept in like
forever six
matches.
Yeah.
I think we do the same exact lineup as
against. I agree. I have a slight fear that Sterling sneaks into the starting 11 again.
Okay, I'd be okay with that.
Because
Mudryk, honestly, like, we haven't talked about it enough. Like, other than the very nice run that led to Cole Palmer's the header.
Mm-hmm.
He looked so bad. This was
still the weak link, I guess. Like, I agree with that.
So I would, out of those front three, like, if he came on and started for Mudryk, I wouldn't be mad. And he's played amazing in both legs, or, you know, both fixtures against. Yeah, exactly. So I'd be okay with that. I think I actually would prefer that. I would like to start Sterling.
I've been hard on like on the other end of the spectrum where like Sterling wasn't playing well, you have to bench Sterling. But now Mudrik's not doing anything either, you know, like we're winning and we're not losing and that's all great. But is it because Mudrik is starting? I don't know. I think
the way Noni has been playing, like I think he deserves to stay in the lineup, but Mudrik is not at that level. So yeah.
Exactly. And even the craziest thing is that even without the starts recently, Sterling is still our third highest scorer in the Premier League.
Yeah. Not that surprising.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's a one change that I could see happening. I don't see how he benches Nico, Madueke, Palmer, Caicedo, like the usual names. Like they have to start. Man, it's going to be a fun one this weekend. It would be great. It would be great to keep like
the good vibes going.
Yeah, and a little bit of that, like, the hate watching. I'd love to just, like, oh, City got knocked out of one cup. Let's knock them out of another one. Because I'm indifferent to them winning the league, especially because of all the things that have come out. And they have, like, 110 violations and whatnot. So, like, all their trophies eventually will have asterisks to them. So, like, true. I'd love to just bounce them from the FA Cup. Tomorrow, the time of recording, we might see Liverpool get bounced from the Europa League as well, just burning the Klopp farewell parade as well. It's just like, I want to keep the villain arc going, and taking down City Saturday would just truly do that for me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more happy about Chelsea winning another trophy. I know you're thinking about it the evil way, but if we, like, the shit that we've been through, Andreas, the last two seasons, we deserve a good ending to this year. Like, we fucking deserve it.
Two and a half, like, bro. We can go back to, like, the Lukaku interview. It has not gone. It all started going down from there.
3 years.
A week after the Lukaku interview, or 2 weeks after the Lukaku interview, Russia decided to fucking go to Ukraine.
Holy shit. That and literally, like, was the nexus of this fucking terrible ass stretch that we've been in. Fucking Lukaku, man. And that's why he will always and forever be my least favorite player ever. But hey, if other teams are listening, 35 million is a bargain for this guy. He's a great talent.
Over 400 career goals, I think. Something crazy like that. Yeah.
I think he had double digit goals this year.
Yeah, he's killing it in Roma. If Serie A teams, if you're not racist, Lukaku could be your guy.
Hey, Roma, if you're listening, 35, that's the price.
Not Lazio. Apparently, you have to pay Lazio to stay in their roster recently. But
yeah, wait, who is it again?
Luis Amada, Alberto? No, Luis Alberto hasn't been paid for 4 years. And then they signed Kamada, the Japanese player, this season as a free agent. And if he doesn't pay the club 100 euro, they release him as a free agent instead of extending him another year. It's just
100 euros?
Just 100 euros. Okay. It's the wildest. That's still weird. It is the wildest clause to put into a contract. You are the employer, and you're asking your employee to pay you to stay on your team. It's just, Lazio is on one, man. It is a crazy place to be.
And what's his name? What's his name? The Brazilian guy, the one who used to play at West Ham.
Felipe Anderson.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I'm out of here too. And apparently he turned down Juventus to go to Palmeiras.
Yeah.
Which is pretty
going back to Brazil. He wants to party.
Yeah.
But anyways, we've gone through Champions League. We've gone on our hate parade. We've talked Cole Palmer's, even about his elbows. I mean, we couldn't talk enough about him. We've talked about the Italian league, if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
We've covered it all. We got Man City this weekend. We're hoping for the best, but I think it's a good time to call it. You'll see us on Twitter on Saturday through this match. Our ultras, you'll see us on Discord. If you want to be an ultra, message us on Twitter. Be involved with the podcast. Tweet at us at Blues on Parade. That's how we do things here. There's no paywall to be part of it all. But as always, guys, keep the blue flag flying high.